This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
We may be excited for the start of the football season. However, we know there are folks around us that may have lost a friend or family member recently. As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm Kondorian Murat can guide you through the difficult probate administration process to help bring clarity and closure to a loved one's estate. Schedule a free consultation with their probate and estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that Grant and Danny sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Friday, we will be out and about. We are doing a live show on site. We are going to be hanging with some listeners, and we are excited about that.
This is going to be really cool. We're at Atlas Brew Works, which is in Alexandria. They have a million taps. It's going to be so much fun to hang out with folks. Ooch in a Boot. They have great pizza there as well. Wings, appies, the whole nine yards. It is a fun place to be. And it'll be even more fun, dare I say, with your pals, Dant and Granny.
Speaking of fun, I always love an audio vault. We have scoured the webs for you guys to find some of the best audio from the last week. It's time for the very creepy open that makes you think Halloween, so it's almost the right time
now
of year.
We're here now.
It's October.
It fits.
So it'll be relevant for at least a month.
Vincent Price bit. I love it.
I do just want to know, like, what about an audio vault when it was sent? Did we ever say, like, make it as creepy as possible?
So you guys want Goosebump vibes? You want Nickelodeon late night?
Hey, we're going to do this segment where Darius and GP find some audio that they really like that people will be entertained by. We'll put it into one jam-packed few minutes, and we'll just play a bunch of funny clips on the radio. This guy goes, I got an idea.
I got some. Make a bold choice in an audition.
When you emailed that into production, Darius, did you say, let's make sure it feels like you're about to watch the movie Halloween?
I definitely did not say that. I'm actually looking for the actual email to make sure, but I know for sure I did not say that.
Yeah, no. We're doing an audio vault, so sound effects with the audio vault, blah, 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 asterisk. Go down to the bottom, asterisk is, make it sound like it's the beginning of How to Tell Scary Stories in the Dark, like audiobook.
Was the word creepy used? Because to me, that comes back to us as, let's make it creepy. It's just supposed to be a fun time, but I like it. I like where we're at. I wouldn't replace it. It's just pretty amazing. All right, it is time, though, for the Creepy Audio Vault. We will start with Dan Campbell. My guy, not so much Danny's guy. This is Motor City Dan Campbell. So you may have watched Monday Night Football, Danny.
Yes.
The Lions hung 42, got to 3-1. Anyone else know any teams that scored 42 on their way to 3-1 this week?
Yeah, I got to look around a couple here.
Jared Goff did not throw an incompletion. That's also relatable content.
Mm-hmm.
The quarterback here doesn't throw many incompletions either. But Jared Goff, 18 of 18 for 292 yards and two touchdowns. So Campbell gets to the podium, and he's asked about Jared Goff's perfection, the fact that he set the record for not throwing an incompletion, basically, for an entire game, 15 or more passes to complete 100% of his passes that hadn't happened before. Dan Campbell had just gotten done giving out game balls. He didn't realize that he hadn't thrown an incompletion, so he forgot to give Goff one, and he felt bad about it.
Yeah, well, I just gave the game ball to somebody else, so I feel awful right now. I knew he played a heck of a game. I did not realize he was perfect. I did not know he was literally 18 for 18. But I knew he played really well. You could feel it.
You don't throw an incompletion. You go for almost 300 yards, perfect passing. Your coach is handing out game balls. This guy played well. This guy did a good job. And he doesn't realize that you didn't have any incompletions.
Yeah, and he caught a touchdown pass.
That's a little minor detail.
You got to throw the praying mantis a game ball there, don't you?
7-yard touchdown in Dan Campbell. Now, maybe a PR guy or someone could have helped him out. You know, a lot of times they'll go over the stats and they'll give him the book and they'll say, make sure you mention this, or here's the first time we've done this in 15 years. I guess going into the game ball presentation, you don't normally have to address the coach, but it might have been nice to just throw the bone at him and say, hey, by the way, Jared Goff didn't have an incompletion today. Let's make sure he gets a game ball. Wasn't on Dan Campbell's mind.
He's old Motor City's probably, you know, waxing poetic about a fullback on a 2-yard game because they established their will or some kind of other jargon where they ate kneecaps in shallow water and there was a shark there and they're the shark in this one and that's really good. So, yeah, probably forgot that throwing the forward pass got them the 42 points.
I know we're not Detroit sports radio, but I heard this on one of the talking head shows this morning on ESPN.
The shouty shows.
One of the shouty shows. Is Detroit the new America's team?
Well, they have been since Hard Knocks, in my opinion. Now, they are going to be around long enough. Like, this is now year three of them being pretty good. Because halfway through 2 years ago, they turned it on and almost made the playoffs. Last year was the year where they were really good. And then this year, they're 3-1. They're going to be one of the top teams in the conference. Eventually, that isn't as fun anymore. There's another new upstart team, like, say, Washington, as an example, that gets the cologne if the Commanders were ever smart enough to go on Hard Knocks. But I digress. But, yeah, I think people love the Lions. I said to Ryan, like, after week one, I was like, now that Kirko's not in the NFC North with the Vikings anymore, I was like, the Lions might be my NFC North kind of team that I pull for. That might be a team I want to see do well, even though Ben Johnson made me look like a horse's ass.
I wonder. Because that's so hard to gauge and measure, right? I mean, the Cowboys still get the most attention. Like, Ed Warder has to stay there for 24/7, 365 because Jerry Jones sneezed or, you know, Dak Prescott, wiped his brow and threw a towel on the ground. So they have to cover it. But in terms of likability, I think they have the highest Q rating, or like the highest percentage of people a positive association. When you say Lions, I think the most number of people are like, oh, yeah, I like the Lions. It's fine.
Speaking of Ben Johnson.
Ben Johnson alert.
Wait a minute.
Ben Johnson alert.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Ben Johnson alert.
Dust this one off.
Uh-huh.
Who's he going to leave at the altar this year? Two seasons ago, it was the Panthers. We're all the way down the way, and then we go, never mind.
Nah.
This year. I mean, the Commanders had their tux on. The Commanders were standing at the altar. The best men were behind them. Their best man stepped up and said, don't worry, buddy. She's walking out here any second. She's coming. The music was playing, man. And then the phone started ringing. Hey, Grant, we got a call for you. Now, I was 30,000 feet in the air with Harrison Rails and company, you know? I'm on my way to Detroit. He's not coming.
Wait, what?
Who's he going to leave at the altar this year?
Hold on. He said what?
Second straight week with a trick play touchdown for old Ben Johnson. All right. How about Tom Brady versus Baker Mayfield? Baker Mayfield came out this week when asked on some podcast about all the players loving him and how he's awesome and he's Mr. Cool Guy. Everyone wants a piece of old Bake Daddy. I'm Mr. Big Daddy. I'm the cool guy. I'm the Big Daddy, right? Mm-hmm. So he was talking about how Tom Brady was essentially high-strung. It wasn't that fun. Yeah, they won, but he's not fun to be around. I'm paraphrasing, but he takes it seriously. No one can really laugh. There's no jokes. I'm a different kind of guy. I'm the fun substitute teacher.
I'm the fun guy.
Tom Brady didn't like that very much. This was Tom Brady while calling the Bucs game with Baker Mayfield at the controls playing well this week. On Fox.
Said, quote, they wanted me to come in, be myself, bring the joy back to football for guys who weren't having as much fun. It's funny because you've made this environment for me very stressful up here in the booth, so I understand where he's coming from.
Do you feel it?
No.
Stress?
No.
Well, I was going to say, I thought stressful was not having Super Bowl rings. So there was a mindset of a champion that I took to work every day. This wasn't daycare. If I wanted to have fun, I was going to go to Disneyland with my kids.
Yeah, so, you know, as you were saying, go ahead. That's you feel like, I feel like there's more in there to say.
There's a way to approach this game.
Yeah.
And it's that with the right mindset and try to push each other outside of our comfort zone. And great teammates do that. You come in, I have someone like Gronkowski, I have someone like Evans. There's high expectations for us. We got to make sure we go out there and deliver.
I was kicking guys in the butt. Sorry we won a title.
You heard the one pause in there where Kevin Burkhardt's like, he was actually picking up the microphone that Brady dropped on that one. He had to retrieve it and say, there's more. Go ahead and say more stuff.
Just because people may not know this, that was edited from, there was a play.
Yes.
And then they got back to the topic. But your point is correct. I think you did pick up the mic that had just been dropped.
Just doing bits.
As good as that was from Tom Brady, Doug Peterson had a rough day at the podium. Not his best press conference. I got two Doug Peterson clips here that I thought were hilarious. The first was he was asked about his job security because he's a few years into his run in Jacksonville. They're getting worse. His quarterback is getting worse. He's an offensive-minded coach who's supposed to be a quarterback whisperer, and they're the only 0-4 team in the NFL at this point. And let's just say he didn't like the question very much.
Okay. Start worrying about your status.
My status?
Yeah. After an 0-4 start.
I mean, no. Kind of a strange question, but okay.
Ain't that strange?
How strange is it, coach?
Ain't that strange? Adjust your visor more. Yeah. 0-4 start after a huge failed expectations the year before. Coming off a 9-8 season 2 years ago when they won a playoff game, epic comeback against the Chargers. Everyone goes, this team's next. They're on deck. Now, that 9-8 finish isn't terrible, but it's not what everyone thought. And now you're off to an 0-4 start. The only defeated team in the league? It ain't that crazy of a question.
Oh, it's not crazy at all.
Yeah.
I mean, players are chirping.
Yeah.
People are not happy. The culture is not good. You know why players are chirping this week? You know why they're not very happy? Because in that same press conference, that same Doug Peterson did something you very rarely hear.
Uh-huh.
He did the, I can't score touchdowns.
Oh, you got to love that.
The players need to stop sucking thing.
Is there any chance you take the headset over? Just change this thing up.
For what? I thought he called a great game. We as coaches, we can't go out there and make the plays, right? It's a two-way street. So, you know, you guys can sit here and point the finger all you want, and that's fine. Point it right at me. I can take it. Okay? I can take it. So, whatever you want to ask me, say, whatever, write, go ahead.
First of all, you're not taking it very well, because you just told me it was a weird question. And also, that is the ultimate backtrack. He basically was like, yeah, coaches, man, we can just coach. These guys got to play better. By the way, I'm the reason. What did I just say? I just put my foot in my mouth? Let me make it really obvious. Call on me. I'm 40. I'm a man. No. You just said the thing you can't say.
All right. Listen, guys, I need some help. PR staff. Grant, Darius, Ryan, I've lost something. I lost the locker room. Where do I get that? I can't find it anymore because I lost it when I said that ridiculous thing.
0-4. Those teams with the coaches that say weird things at the podium that don't win very often must suck to be them.
I bet you needs the analytics of football. Somebody drop that off to that guy. He's floundering down there, for Christ's sake.
Might be time for the analytics of football. Aaron Rodgers and Robert Saleh, there has long been speculation that they are not in the friendliest, coziest relationship. Remember there was the weird video of Rodgers kind of shoving him away on the sideline that he downplayed, said he just told him two-score lead, which you go back, you look at his lips, he probably did. That might have explained that moment away. But really, since Robert Saleh decided to call out Aaron Rodgers for his unexcused absence whenever they had already told him, yeah, it'll be unexcused, but we know you won't be here because he's got to do his retreat bit that he was doing during OTAs. It just seems like there's been friction.
Mm-hmm.
This is pretty clear. Aaron Rodgers does not respect Robert Saleh very much. That is what I took out of this clip here. The backstory is that the Jets had 5 pre-snap penalties from their offensive line. I believe 4 of them were just true false starts when Aaron Rodgers was using his cadence to try to get the D-line to jump from the Broncos.
He got someone to jump.
By the way, Aaron Rodgers is one of the best all-time at drawing defenses offsides, and then the best all time with a free play at chucking it downfield and making a play. He's done it his entire career. When asked about it after the game, Robert Saleh didn't say, yeah, we need to stop jumping offsides, basically. He said, maybe Aaron Rodgers' snap count needs to be dumbed down a little bit. Maybe he's trying to do too much pre-snap. And if you're going to critique the smartest guy in the room, you best not miss.
The cadence specifically, Robert said, that might be something you guys have to dial back a little bit. Is that something you think could potentially help the situation?
It's one way to do it. The other way is hold them accountable. I mean, we haven't had an issue. We've had one false start. Morgan had one false start, I believe, until this. So, you know, it's been a weapon. We use it every day in practice. We don't, you know, we rarely have a false start. And to have, I don't know, five today, it seemed like, four or five. Yeah, that seems like an outlier. I don't know if we need to make mass changes based on, you know, kind of an outlier game.
The only thing he could have done that would have been more obvious if he was like, Robert said that?
Is that what he said?
Who said that? Robert said that? With some silence afterwards.
Okay.
But I do love the, basically, that's one way to do it. The other way would be if he did his job.
Reminds me of in Avengers Infinity War when Chris Pratt's Star-Lord was like, that's a great plan. Let me come up with a plan that doesn't suck.
Yeah, exactly. Joe Flacco's funny. Joe Flacco,
yes,
late career Joe Flacco, also probably better at quarterback than early career Joe
Sam
Flacco.
The Eagle is finding a second life here.
Really crazy, man. But Joe Flacco, post-game, doing an interview on the field. I think it was Aditi Kinkwambala talking to Joe Flacco, CBS.
I do have to tell you, Anthony Richardson told us that you were cooler than you thought he was.
Listen, he told me his mom is 8 days older than I am. So there's no chance in the world that he thinks I'm cool. So,
all right, what about your kids, though? What do you think they think of this one?
This is the first game they've come to this year, and dad's on the field. So I'll look up there for them, see if I can find them. I'm sure they'll have a bunch of critiques for me. That's about it.
Danny, you know from having kids that are roughly in the vicinity of his kids' ages, there's no way his kids, like, they're excited that their dad's in the NFL, I'm sure, but they're just going to wear him out. I mean, it's not like they are your biggest fan in the sense that they are, but they also can't wait to just tell you about the play you missed.
Right, so away, when you're not there, they'll brag about you to the classmates and friends on the playground. And like my one of my sons told his teacher, like, my dad's the most famous person in the world, which is not correct.
That's awesome.
Which is, it's wrong.
You're one of them.
No.
I've always said Taylor Swift, Danny Ruye.
Like just below, like, world leaders than me.
Big controversy last year when NBC kept showing you during all the NFL games and people were upset about it.
It was weird because, like, how'd they get a camera there, first of all? But second of all, like, that's wrong. But, like, but in my presence, it's nothing but joning. You know what I mean? But, like, those kinds of things come back to you. So, yeah, he's 100% right. When his kids are like, nice throw to downs, Dad.
Burying the lead, though?
Yeah.
8 days older than the mother
of
the guy that he backs up on the depth chart, Anthony Richardson. I'm not sure the Colts won't be better with Joe Flacco, by the way.
Yeah, they're going to be some, like, Richardson needs to play to go through the growing pains.
For the other team to have success, I would agree with that.
Well, you drafted a guy that's raw, and you know who showed up was a guy that's raw, right? So the point is he needs to play, but that's kind of not where the team is right now. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think the Colts are decently well built, so maybe you do the veteran Vic and let Sam the Eagle sling it.
I thought this story was funny. This is Bill O'Brien,
Mr. O'Brien.
We refer to him on this program as Mr. O'Brien.
Mr. O'Brien.
Telling a pretty good story about his time with the Patriots and backup quarterback Matt Castle interacting with Bill Belichick.
There's a lot of good coach stories. I can remember, like, the quarterback meetings when I first got there. So that was Tom, Matt Castle, who you know is one of the funniest human beings of all time. Up there with Matt Light, Rich Orenberger, like those three guys.
Outrageous.
These are very funny
They're
guys.
Funny guys.
As you know, Bill would come in later in the week, meet with the quarterbacks, and Bill would take his shoes off. And Bill, as you know, Bill didn't wear socks.
Yeah.
So and at that time, the quarterback meeting room was pretty small. And so I remember this one meeting, and Matt Castle was like, what is that smell? Like, what is that smell? And, like, nobody says anything, and we're all like, Matt Castle, he was the very funny guy who didn't care about making anyone uncomfortable. He loved making you, and so he was like, no, seriously, like, what is that? Bill, is that your feet? And Bill, I'll never forget this, Bill looked at him and goes, Castle, just shut the up. I was like, it was like my first year there, and I'm like, I cannot believe I'm witnessing this right now, but as time went on, you could believe it.
I just thought that was a great story.
That's good.
I mean, that's the thing players, coaches, they got to miss when they're out of it.
Uh-huh.
It's just the what other environment is there? I guess we have a small sample of it in radio, you know, sitting here pre-show.
Right.
But this isn't a real work environment. You
like,
know
no
what
one,
I mean?
Yeah, no one understand that, like, one of the things I miss about my college teammates is the one guy I was right next to in terms of lockers had awful halitosis. Like, first thing in the morning, his breath was terrible. So we'd leave double mint gum on his stool, or we'd leave like breath mints and all sorts of stuff over the years, like just to pick him up. Those little things you can't replace. You can't do that again in public life, or otherwise you have to go to HR. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of stuff is irreplaceable.
That there is your audio vault, spinning you around some of the best NFL audio since the games this weekend. Let's get you a Commanders stock report next. Who's the arrow trending up and down on? We will get to the bottom of it on Grant and Danny. We're giving out tickets to the Caps home opener in 40 minutes on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
He's Danny, I'm Grant, this is The Fan. Those Caps tickets to the home opener on October 12th in 10 days are up for grabs. We're giving those out at 4 o'clock, a half hour from right now, ahead of the Beltway Blitz. Before our double play at 3:45, it is time for a Commanders stock report. Who's the arrow trending up on? Who's the arrow trending down on? Let's get after it. Danny, you go first.
The arrow is trending up. Give me a stock report up, Darius. Brian Robinson, we knew we'd be able to run the football, right? Especially with someone like Jaden Daniels and the threat of him out of the backfield. But a career-high pace for Brian Robinson. Yards per carry, success percentage, everything about the running game starts with him thumping mostly between the tackles, occasionally getting him outside with a head of steam on some pitch plays, some misdirection, going off tackle here and there. But Brian Robinson, don't look now, having himself a Pro Bowl caliber season.
Arrow is going in the right direction. On my guy, Frankie Louvu, who had his first quarterback hit, who had his first forced takeaway on a strip, and who had his first half sack all on Sunday in Arizona while the defense allowed just 14 points. He has flashed with big physical moments. He blew up Malik Nabers at the end of a play in the lone home game a couple of weeks back. But this was the best we've seen him. He's starting to put it together. I think he's starting to get more comfortable in the defense. I also believe they're using him a little more the way that we were told they were going to. He was all over the place, asked to do a ton of different things. Stock up on Frankie Louvu.
Brandon Coleman. Can you win the job? Certainly seems so. He's been sprinkling in, played, I think it was like 20% in week one, a little bit more in week two. That number's gone up and up and up each week. You don't notice it. because he doesn't let people past him. He's been really, really impressive as he's working himself into shape, and ultimately it looks like he's going to take that job, but seems to be one of those mid-round home runs. Very, very early, obviously. Nobody's slamming the gavel just yet, but the idea that you wouldn't have to go out and spend $100 million in free agency or draft somebody in the first round or trade back in, and you could find your left tackle of the present and maybe the future in a glorified, you know, supplemental pick, that's pretty impressive.
Jeremy McNichols. You know what the good teams do? When somebody misses a game, they don't miss a beat because the backup steps in. And even though over many games they wouldn't be able to give you the same amount as the guy they're replacing, they find a way for four quarters in a small sample to play really well. Like McNichols did. 8 carries for 68 yards, including a 27-yard touchdown. He actually scored 2 touchdowns in the game. He caught a pass for 6 yards. I thought he was very steady in pass protection. What else do you want from a 28-year-old journeyman who'd been on and off of 12 roster in his career? Jeremy McNichols makes you feel okay if Austin Eckler isn't going to play this weekend against Cleveland, although he told us on this show in our weekly interview with him yesterday that he expects to play against the Browns.
So remember before the season, GP, we're trying to figure out who's going to have the second most catches of the receivers behind Terry McLaurin. And my answer was Alamide Zaccheaus. And through 3-4 weeks now, that's been the case. But we'd buy a 6-catch game here this past week. But this is what I thought we were getting. Everything that's intermediate, everything that's, you know, maybe even a little bit down the field. You think McLaurin, now you think Noah Brown. Around the line of scrimmage, what Jamison Crowder was doing a few years ago when he was in his prime, that's what Zaccheaus is going to do. Catching screens, catching, sort of shallow crossers. Maybe if you find a man look or something like that, wiggling in between. He was going to catch some short footballs to basically be an extension of the running game. That's what happened this past week. I don't know if it's going to be like that every week. Just depends on the look and the vibe and what the offense needs. But a big game for Zaccheaus this past Sunday.
Diami Brown, follow me for a second. He is going to catch more passes than he's ever caught before. And he's going to put up more yards probably than he ever has at this pace because he's catching a ball or two every week. He had 2 for 17 against the Giants, 2 for 16, and they were big on a drive to go get points to get a 2-possession lead against the Bengals in the second half. He had the 1 catch for 4 yards on a little curl route against the Arizona Cardinals. So far, 5 grabs, 37 yards for him on 7 targets through 4 games. But you just mentioned it. We have had a Noah Brown sighting. We have had a Terry McLaurin game. We have seen Luke McCaffrey make some huge plays for this team, including a 40-yard catch and run on a 4th and a couple. We've now had an Alamide Zaccheaus game. We have not really had the noticeable big moment from Diami Brown. The addition of another Brown in Noah Brown, I think, has hurt him some as well. So overall, I just think his standing within the receiver room, his status on the offense, is trending probably in the wrong direction. I think he served a nice purpose. He has responded when called upon. That's all good. He's just not going to be called upon as much as he probably would like until something changes. Right now, it's McLaurin, Brown, and McCaffrey squarely ahead of him. And Zaccheaus, not Brown, was the guy they mixed in the screen game.
Jamin Davis, and I feel like I'm kind of picking on the guy here a little bit, but let me pick on the guy a little bit. Remember when it was a thing when we were all a flutter and all a buzz at this conversion to defensive end, and there was a tackle for loss early on, and he showed well? Well, inactive in week number 2, and not really part of the plan, it sounds like, or it seemed like here, over the past couple of weeks. Didn't play a very high percentage of snaps, not much noticeable impact, basically reduced to being a special teamer here of late, instead of that rotational defensive end piece for a group that, frankly, didn't have a dominant player in front of him. It's not as if, you know, he's sitting behind 2 former first-round picks who told us they were going to break the sack record. Am I right? That happened. But he hadn't had that many opportunities because he seems to have not overtaken those folks. So Damon Davis, unfortunately, stock down.
Dante Fowler has been pretty quiet so far. Now, he has not played a ton to his credit. I think it's 118 combined snaps through 4 games or so with a couple starts. But that's roughly 50% of the defensive plays, and on plenty of passing downs, he has 1/2 of a sack. He split it on what was a bit of a coverage sack of Joe Burrow with Dorrance Armstrong. I was kind of hoping it was going to be a breakout big year for him where they used him in a way where he got back to his old ways. Remember, this was a guy in Jacksonville way back when who was drafted in the top 5 in the NFL draft. In fact, he had seasons at different points when it looked like he was about to become a standout pass rusher. 11.5 sacks for the Rams. Just been a little bit more quiet than I would have thought. Isn't doing anything wrong per se, but I'm looking for more pass rush. They've got a sack from Javonte Jean-Baptiste. They've now got a sack and a half this past week from Dorrance Armstrong. Both Allen and Payne contributed sacks. Farrell on some cleanup work from nice plays by Payne had sacks in weeks 1 and 2 of the season. Didn't play here recently in week 4. Fowler's kind of been the missing link in terms of getting home. I'm looking for more out of him.
Andrew Wiley. Remember, this is one of the most maligned players in recent Washington memory. I think what happens is when we're getting to know you and your first impression that you leave us is bad, then that's kind of what people think of you, especially it's something that's pretty visible, right? When a right tackle is a statue and someone rolls right around him for a sack and drills Sam Howell or whatever, people didn't think very much of Andrew Wiley. It was hard. It was hard to kind of convince folks reading some of the numbers and having smart people analyze this thing. Hey, this guy's playing better as the season progresses. Nobody really cared. It wasn't much fun. And that was an area where, myself included, saying, hey, they need to do better here. If they have the opportunity, you don't really, because of his salary cap hit and the way the contract was, it wouldn't incentivize you to get out of it. But I think they need to upgrade that spot. They need to find maybe a player in waiting. Their version of what they did with Brandon Coleman over on the right side. That's what I would have done there. But Andrew Wiley's played pretty darn well, as this offensive line has, so good for him.
Nick Allegretti, the left guard who started all 4 games, he recovered a fumble at one point. One of the reasons why they have not turned the ball over with a fumble this season. The recovered fumble against the Bengals saved their bacon, probably saved the game. That's not why I'm going stock up. Stock up because he's a part of an offensive line that's been excellent. Stock up because I think he's played at a high level. Stock up because he was mostly a backup in Kansas City that they bet big on and have been absolutely right about. Stock up because he's a part of the number one run blocking unit in the league. And if you want to add together and divide ESPN and PFF's thoughts on the pass blocking, the number 6 pass blocking unit in the league. He's 28. They said he'll be a starter, and so far they've been right. Allegretti's played very well.
Cliff Kingsbury. Take that, nerds. Take that, people that study this sort of stuff for a living and had a lot to say about Cliff Kingsbury in the preseason. You may end up being right. I have no idea. I know this through 4 weeks, that offense where there's not that much motion, that offense where Terry McLaurin only lines up on the left, that offense that looked like it was going to be running in quicksand, is kicking everybody's butt. They look really, really, really good through the first month of the season with a rookie quarterback getting up to speed.
That's your Commander Stock Report. We've got Caps tickets to the opener at 4 in 20 minutes. We'll give those out. Also, Deftones tickets at 5 o'clock ahead of Blitz in the East. That's an hour and 20 minutes away. You got to be listening to The Fan. Every day at 3:45 on Grant and Danny, we give you a double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today.
Two things going on with me, GP. Last night, obviously, a huge momentous thing for me. You know, I've been struggling with this. I finished the 4 Dragon Brothers side quest in Black Myth Wukong. Really struggled with the 4th brother, Lightning. I could not figure out what to do. Finally got enough lightning resistance built up. I did enough building in my cloud step to be really perfect Unveiling Strike to be able to hit enough when I had my Pluck of Many spell going. In addition to using Immobilize a couple times, I had to rebuff and do a couple things to increase my mana in order to defeat him, but I was able to do it. I got the Golden Carp Curio, which I know you got 6 months ago, but I just finally got it to increase the rare item drop because, like everybody else, I need Mind Course. So that's where we're at. But a big moment last night at about 1:15 in the Rouillet household. I screamed bleep yes and woke up my oldest. So that is the update there. You have any final questions on that, or are you good to go there?
I think I'm pretty good.
Okay, you covered, yeah.
How did everyone feel when you did it? Did you get a big ovation in the house?
No, people were mad because I woke them up with the loud noise. But I did that. So I'm very proud of myself, and I wanted to let everyone know that I'm a little bit silly. The second thing is Mr. McMahon on Netflix. Yes. Yes to this. Yes. I lived through it.
I'm getting mixed feedback on this.
I am not interested in the negative feedback because here's what's happening. I'm 10 years old again. I remember all the beats. I remember waking up Saturday morning to see Mean Gene Okerlund sit down at some makeshift studio and interview the Ultimate Warrior, Macho Man, Hulk Hogan, Rowdy Piper, the Ultimate Warrior, everybody. It's perfect. I'm having all the feels and all the memories again. It may not be the greatest documentary of all time, but I don't care. If you can make me feel like I'm 10 again, here you go. Here's my attention. Here's my money. That's what's happening.
I'm going to watch that, and I'm actually really excited about it. The reason I haven't watched it yet has nothing to do with like the mixed feedback that I've gotten. I would say 80% of people polled on this by your boy feel really good about it. But I've had a few people, including, I won't throw him under the bus, but one of our guys here at the radio station, mm-hmm. who I asked about this, who basically said, it's not that good. It's a bunch of stuff you already know. That doesn't bother me, because if it's done well Netflix style as a documentary, mm-hmm. if I know it or I don't know it, really isn't going to impact me in any way.
You make me a documentary of the 91 Redskins right now. I know a lot of that stuff. So I can't wait to sit down and watch it and hug my pillow and just remember the joy. That's what it is. And it's worth noting. And again, I'm not excusing these things, but 90-some percent of the documentary footage was before a lot of the heavy accusations leveled at Vince McMahon. So, you know, they sort of offer that up front going, hey, we know about the stuff that you guys are going to ask about.
This documentary is not about that.
Not yet. So they're going through the rise of the WWE. Was that a WWF?
Okay. I had no idea.
Yeah.
So this is basically about his entire life arc. And
yes.
Positive Vince McMahon stuff.
Yeah. And you know, it goes into some of the things that he ruffled a lot of feathers and a lot of people were really pissed off at him and hated his guts as he was building this empire.
I thought this was a documentary about the recent accusations and basically what a terrible person he allegedly was.
So, yeah, I haven't gotten all the way through that. We're not up to present day.
Might be coming.
I'm sure it's coming. But yeah, the majority of the footage is it's all interviewing about how wrestling used to be this one thing. And he goes, I'm going to make it something entirely different. And then it becomes something entirely different. Like, he did that, and everyone said, you can't do that. And he mortgaged everything, including his house, to do WrestleMania. So, like, there's no WrestleMania. There's never been anything like it. Before pay-per-view is really as mainstream as it kind of became, and then now is, I think, on the way out. But nobody did anything like that. And he's like, we're going to show up and have it on closed-circuit televisions where you buy a ticket to be able to go see it. And, like, everyone's like, what does that mean? And it was a smashing success.
Wow.
It was the great spectacle of sports. And, you know, the second one was weird. They tried to do it in three cities and it failed. But the third one in the Pontiac Superdome with 93,000 people is one of the most watched events of its kind in human history.
I always admire the people that come up with things that are visionaries, that kind of change, completely evolve either something they've created mm-hmm. or something they joined. Because I don't have that outside the box thinking always. Like I like to find ways to do things more efficiently that are on the already, you know, that we know of.
Yeah,
that's kind of what I'm okay at. But the people that can just say this has never been before, no one's ever thought about this before, but I'm gonna try it. I shoot everything down because it's like that won't work.
That's hard.
So I really admire that mm-hmm. kind of thinking.
Yeah, I mean you got to be wired differently. I don't say that in a negative way, but you do. Like I think at the most basic level. Before there was flight, these two brothers are like, we can do that. What? No one's flown in the history of human beings? There's one story about one guy that tried and his wings burned. Like, the whole point is don't dare. Don't try. Stay low. You know what I mean? Keep your head down and live your life, and then we'll dig your grave when you're done. And the Wright brothers are like, what if we ran and jumped off this sand that's kind of piled up in a hill? Flight. You know what I mean? Like, those guys, like, bucking convention. Like, the Henry Ford. Listen, it's a box, and it's got this thing. It's going to rotate, but it's got four wheels, and we just ride along. What propels it? Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, the dudes that said we're going to try it are awesome.
It's time for my double play. I have not watched the Vince McMahon documentary because I have been busy watching, and I'm only about halfway through this. Monsters, the Lyle and Eric Menendez story. You know me, I'm a true crime guy. So these are the brothers who are in prison still, decades later, for killing their parents. This well-to-do family in California where they just one day, after watching a movie, basically decide this is what they're going to do. This whole show is stranger than fiction.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to describe it other than, like, sometimes you watch these quote-unquote docu-series, docu-dramas, whatever, and you go, man, these guys are so stupid. And you look at them as characters and you go, nobody would ever do this. But, you know, afterwards, just thinking you're not going to get caught and spending frivolously, and it's a wild show. I came in with almost no information. I'd heard of these two people. I'd heard of this family in passing, but I didn't really know a whole lot. I've since done more reading, but I'm about halfway through the series. I've been watching it on Netflix. I don't love it, to be honest with you. And my reason for not loving it is, again, I don't do the stranger than fiction thing that well. Like, if I can't believe the true crime thing because it's too stupid, like, there's no way these two guys just told four people in the first 24 hours, or, you know what I mean? Whatever.
Yeah.
Like, and then thought they were going to get away with it. It's just hard for me. It's almost like suspends my reality, even if they're telling you the story that allegedly happened step for step that way. So that's what I'm struggling with. How much of a file do you have on this?
So I lived through this. I mean, I remember all the details are a little bit fuzzy. Like, I don't remember everybody's name or the particulars. But this trial, this thing was like, in the wake of OJ, the next national attention trial. It didn't have the same, you know, 100 level retention where everybody was glued to the television set and we actually got off school to go to the amphitheater to watch the verdict live on television. Talking about OJ.
What year was this?
I think 96. Maybe then the subsequent trial would have been 97 or 98, somewhere in there. But the first one, they were tried separately and there was a mistrial. So then they tried them together and they were found guilty. So remember the first one, it's like, they're going to go free. And then it's like, wait, not so fast. There's another maneuver here.
Yeah. So, and I'm not at the trials or anything yet, but just watching the series on Netflix, I love that we have all of this content now.
Uh-huh.
There's actually a legitimate documentary, less a drama series, that has come out. The director is getting all kinds of heat from their attorneys and these guys from prison and their, you know, wives and family members and people that are out and about how terrible it makes them look. And it's like, well, you know, you kind of helped in that a little bit, didn't you? But I was reading yesterday that Kim Kardashian has gone and met with them in prison, and one of the actors went, and Gen Z wants these guys released. Apparently, there's a bunch of, like, kids now that want to see them, you know, get another trial, and whatever that kind of stuff is not for me, I will say. But I like the content. I like just bringing something back into the forefront and kind of educating people on what happened.
Yeah, so quick apology. I got my timeline totally wrong. This was pre-OJ.
I got that
totally backwards. I apologize. This was sort of the before OJ there was this, right? This was this trial captured the country before it, like, set the stage for what OJ would just stop everything.
It was really early 90s,
yeah.
If I had to guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Just based on, like, what people are wearing and mm-hmm. what it looks like.
Yeah, but apologies.
Anyway, so that's what I have been watching on Netflix myself. You and I have both been doing a little grinding. Not without the
just,
sports to
just
watch.
Documentary style Netflix viewing for your boys.
Oh, I just remembered the Nats season's over, so I got to get rid of my cable. Also,
nice. You won't do it during the break.
No, probably it's going to take more than 5 minutes. You think it's that easy?
Yeah, for you.
You ever called a cable company?
You got them on speed dial. You got a guy over there.
That's true.
You're like, hey, it's me again.
The Beltway Blitz comes your way next, and we're giving out tickets as soon as we return to the Caps home opener, which is just 10 days away. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball.
Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local pitch hit and run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.